Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. It's very nice to have you with us on this Friday morning. It is the 8th of January. We'll get you all set up. Okay, good morning. We had a quick studio turnaround. So we're all okay now. Good morning. Welcome. And very nice to have you with us. Let me introduce our panelists to you. Alan Chartok, good morning.
Yo, from an undisclosed location.
Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning.
This morning, we welcome back the always fun, the always warmly embraced corporate attorney Rich Honan is with us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, great.
I thought you were talking about Barbara when you were going to say that.
Great.
Well, one I'm going to say ironically. The other one I'm going to say truthfully. And author...
That's not right.
Author...
That ain't right.
Editor and activist Barbara Smith joins us as well. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning.
Happy New Year to all of you. So let's... remind folks that they can get in on the conversation, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, or you can also go to WAMC.org/roundtable and post your comment there. We would love to hear from you. WAMC.org/roundtable. Let us go to the news of the day and find out what is happening in the world. We have several places that we can start, but I think I'm going to begin with the town hall meeting with the president yesterday. Once again, the president trying to bridge the divide on guns and saying that pretty much called out the NRA and said, the idea that I'm coming to take your guns is a conspiracy, the president said. There was several comments like that throughout the town hall meeting, which was broadcast live on CNN, held at George Mason University in Virginia. And let me put my time frame in line here. But Tuesday was the day that he made all of this official. And then announced it on Monday, made it official on Tuesday, and then is on the sales tour on Thursday. Okay. Alan, what do you think?
Well, I thought, and I said so before, that this is a worthy campaign. He made it very clear. It's not going to happen during his presidency, and it is not. But in fact, he made it clear that he's so passionate about this that nobody should vote for anybody who is on the wrong side of this one, and that he won't. And he thinks that when the 90% of Americans, I believe 90% is the word he was using, do that, that we will get some change. I suspect, since the Republican opposition is so great in the House of Representatives and is so specific to the 15% or so of people who vote in a Republican primary, who are the radical bunch in that group, that he is basically declaring war on them and saying, hey, you know, if this is the only thing that's going to motivate you, I'll help you out.
Rich?
I agree with Alan in that he's basically declaring war. That's his you know, modus operandi on these types of issues. I think he did that with Obamacare. I think he did that with immigration, with the executive order. And I think he's doing it here, but I don't think, worthy as the points may be, I don't think it's the right way to have, I don't think it's a dialogue, and I don't think he's sitting in the right room to have that dialogue. I think, you know,
what would the right room be?
The right room is a room with the leaders of Congress, the way we pass legislation. And I know I already feel the response saying, okay, but
we're going to pounce on you and say,
right. but just and at the risk of being pedantic, you know, let's just remind ourselves of the way it's supposed to work. First, you're supposed to try, if there's a legislative agenda you want to advance, you're supposed to try and do that first in your first step through the legislature, through Congress, and if it doesn't work, you go back again, and you go back again. And then, if it continues to not work, then you bring your campaign public, and they could be on parallel paths, and you say, hey, I tried to get this done in 2013, and I couldn't. And so now we need new representatives out there who more properly, you know, reflect the people. The problem is in 2014, even more people defected from his side of view.
And even more people died as the result of gun violence. And the question I have is, isn't it incumbent upon a leader at some point to say, okay, if this isn't going to work out, we need to do something that will at least in some way, shape, or form help this particular issue?
I think it's incumbent on the leader to work harder to make it work out. I'm not convinced, and I see Barbara shaking her head, so I'll defer. I'm not convinced that a single try in Congress followed by, a tantrum after they failed to adopt his package. I'm talking about the 2013 package. I'm not convinced that's trying hard enough.
I'm not sure why you're characterizing his response to it failing as a tantrum. One of the things that I see with Obama is that often the language used to describe his policies and his demeanor and his behavior are really so not appropriate for what is actually going on. I mean, to say that he was, it's like saying a woman is, what's the term they use for us, that we're shrill or whatever. Mm. I just feel like, you know, why say that he had a tantrum? He was really angry because as someone I heard speaking about
frustrated.
What happened, what happened at Sandy Hook, who was there, said you know, the bodies of the little children were stacked up like cordwood. I heard that said within this week. That is very recently. I had not heard that image conveyed before. I've been thinking about it and haunted by it ever since. Bodies of little six-year-olds stacked up like cordwood. And that is reality. That is what happened. He has a right to be frustrated. I don't think it's a tantrum. But let me just get back to the major point, which is he going about this in the right way? I feel like for this president, in relationship to the Republican, and I know there's a variety across the spectrum. Not everybody is
not everyone's a gun nut.
And are an evangelical, or et cetera. Right. You know, there's a really conservative wing of the party. There's a moderate wing, et cetera. But be that as it may, I can't see anything that he could do that would persuade that majority in Congress to back him on virtually anything, because 7 years has demonstrated that that's not the way the right relationship goes. Now, whether he has the political savvy of an LBJ and some of the other, you know, leaders that we've admired, maybe even a Reagan, in working with...
Or a Clinton.
Yeah.
Or a Bill Clinton.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there are people who obviously have different capacities in that incredible role of president, but I just feel like people made a decision long before he actually was inaugurated the first time about how they were going to deal with him. So that's how I feel about it. It's a really important issue. When you said that you thought he was going around about it incorrectly, I thought you meant that there wasn't enough diversity at the town hall itself, which I think there was
views. I'd like to say something if I can, Joe. What she said.
Well, Alan, I would have liked to have seen Obama and his team work as hard on legislative gun control as, for example, you know, they worked on the Iran deal, which, you know, they negotiated that for a year under incredibly adverse circumstances, to the point where the defense minister of Iran would scream and curse at Kerry so much that several times the Secret Service men actually came to the door of the conference room to see if something was going on. Yeah. I'd like to think that he would bring that same effort, that same patience, that same leadership to something as important as gun control. And just, you know, for myself, I don't see where that effort has been brought.
I would love to defer to Barbara on this, and I will, because she's my spokesman on these issues.
I did not know that.
Yes, you are. However,
your people must have called my people, because I did not know.
However, I do want to say it's just not a parallel that you can draw. I mean, you know, one is two great international powers, we being the more forceful and having more of the marbles to spend on this. And I loved what Barbara said. He's been trying to deal with them on everything as aggressively and as hard as he can. And they made it clear. Mitch McConnell said his only job was to get him out of there. They made it clear from the very beginning he was getting nothing capital N, and he has been getting nothing capital N. And you can't possibly think that he hasn't gone back enough times on any of these things. Why? They're still fighting a rear guard action on health care, which put all those people who never had health care in some kind of a position to get it. It's just more than anybody. How can anybody not see it for what it is, Rich?
Because the job is, Alan, to keep going. Just, you know, and Barbara's right, you know, when she mentions LBJ, I think, and I guess FDR also, right? You know, the job is not all glamour and making speeches at carefully picked community colleges. The job is talking to, you know, I'll say it, lowly congresspeople, right? And at one person at a time, and convincing and cajoling and threatening and bribing and all the things that you need to do to get legislation done. I have an issue with the process.
You have an issue here where the American people have spoken, and the American people are on the sides of gun regulations and background checks. And let's face it, what was proposed, and I think if you want to look at people who are have a real problem with the gun laws in this country, think that if anything is wrong with the president. And what he has done is that it doesn't go far enough. And of course, the reason he says that is because he's doing whatever he can within the right of an executive action. My point being, these are very modest attempts. These are very, very modest plans that are being put forward.
But Joe, I would buy that argument more if there hadn't been an intervening election between the failure of the first Gun Control Act and today, and that intervening election again showed people moving away from the Obama, you know, regime's thinking on this.
But the polling says that it's 90%.
Well, if 90% of the American people are truly in favor of this, then you would think the electoral process, either Congress itself would pick that up, or in the next round of elections, there would be a tidal wave, a groundswell that would bring in the people, the elected representatives who are consonant with the needs of the people, and that's how it's supposed to work. You're not supposed, the Constitution, it's not a Word document that you mark up and redline and say, here's the changes I want to make.
Oh,
that's
that
not how
being
it works.
Done.
It's absolutely being done. That's what an executive order is.
Well, I have to say, we heard from Julius. He's a regular correspondent out there. We don't pay him, but he's a regular correspondent. He says, the NRA and the right-wing extremists have an iron grip on Congress through the power of primaries. It's pretty obvious that the only way we're going to get the legislature dialogue that Rich mentions is through significant public pressure from the rest of us, and that's where Obama's going. That's right, Julius, and not only is he right, but so every president recognizes it. Franklin Roosevelt certainly recognized it and knew how to make it work. This is nothing new. This is part of that very dialogue, Rich, that you're talking about, as far as I'm concerned.
But there's been three congressional elections in the interim since Obama's been here, and he hasn't been able to move that needle to get people, again, more consonant with his views.
Not on the issues that were hanging around at the time. You know, there's a very interesting story. I know there's a little deviance, but a very interesting story this morning on what was going on in Vermont when Trump went, and they interviewed somebody, and the guy said, you know, I like Trump and I like Bernie. Now, that's interesting, he says, because they're both basically talking outside the box. Americans want talk outside the box. The president, you're probably right, Rich, the president didn't do that. Now he's doing it, and I say God bless him.
Also, I would, somewhat off the cuff, but I would say that when you look at, you made the comparison to the negotiation with Iran and with the Iran deal, I would think that the NRA is tougher to negotiate with.
Now, see, now you're buying into that's the Democratic propaganda that somehow, you know, it's easier to deal with jihadists than it is to deal with the Republicans in Congress. I'm sorry, I don't buy it.
I
said the NRA.
The NRA gets its power through presumably through this cabal of Republicans. Let me ask Joe. Look, Joe, if you were president, okay, and Barbara and I were advising you,
Barbara would be president. We'd be advising
okay,
her.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. But wouldn't you say, wouldn't you be urging, wouldn't you be every day calling up, and maybe now it's Paul Ryan and saying, hey, Paul, you know, let's talk. Mitch, I know you're an idiot, but let's talk. Let's try and maybe propose something where you say, look, the issue here is domestic security. Let's talk about gun control. Let's talk about immigration from Middle Eastern countries, which is another hot button issue. Let's talk about mental health care. Let's try and give something to all of us. Let's get some background checks for people buying guns. Let's get some background checks for people coming into the country. Let's do the political, you know, the political give and take. And I don't see any evidence that anybody's tried to do something, you know, as basic as that. Go ahead.
It seems to me that we, after Sandy Hook, we had a concerted effort in this country for months to try to get quote-unquote sensible gun legislation passed. We had Joe Biden leading the charge. We had meeting after meeting. We had negotiation after negotiation, and it went absolutely nowhere.
Yeah, well, first of all, they couldn't even get every Democrat to vote for it, if you recall.
Okay.
Just saying, the four Democrats didn't even vote for that.
So Susan writes us a letter and says, the Republican-led Congress has refused to do, any capital letters, anything about guns. Majority of responsible gun owners support stricter background checks. Step back and look at what has happened by Congress. The NRA owns them. Now, the next sentence I don't know about, but I'll read it. Because I really like Chris Gibson. How much support does Chris Gibson get from the NRA? It was in the news recently. Look it up. Well, I don't like people to tell me look it up. I like people to tell me what it said, because I don't know that that's true, but I read the letter because I don't want anybody telling me I didn't. Our very good friend, a friend named Wanda. Hi, folks. So Rich thinks the average person on the street thinks that the average voter on the street has as much money as the NRA. Money talks in Congress. Thank you, Citizens United. And then there are a lot more.
Because I quickly looked it up, but Chris Gibson's rating was a 92% from the NRA on gun issues.
Yeah, again, I'm arguing more of the process here. The bothersome thing to me is
we gotta go. Okay, we gotta go. I'm just gonna.
I'll see you. Nice talking to everybody.
Not only did I miss our break, but I missed our. Here we go. Here's the news. If I know nothing else, and there's a lot I don't know, but if I know nothing else, I do know this. Our email is working today.
Boy, is it ever. And if I know nothing else, if you just move your head a little bit from the microphone, Joe, you bust up in this undisclosed location.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You mean auditorily speaking?
Yes.
Okay.
Jack Benny would say yes.
Is Dick Cheney there with you?
The undisclosed location in the bunker?
But he's got a gun. I got to be careful.
Okay, so let's get the letters. We have many, but we'll try to get a little bit of a sample.
Yeah. Okay. Anonymous says, hi, folks. So Rich thinks the average person on the street thinks the average voter. Oh, we did that one, or didn't we?
I think we did that one.
Okay. So Mike says, arguments, in quotes, I had with a gun enthusiast always seems to center around two premises. One, gun control advocates want to take my guns away. And two, it is my right under the Second Amendment to have the guns I want and the ammunition I want. It is difficult to counter the first argument. Gun advocates always point to the slippery slope. You're not going to convince them. As for the second, advocates are good at pointing the right to keep and bear arms, but not so good at interpreting, quote, a well-regulated militia.
And I would... I would just quickly add that I think the president did a very good job, at least trying to address those central arguments last night during the town hall.
Watching MSNBC this morning, they had statistics with graphs of how many things the Obama administration had done to support gun rights. He has done more than any Democratic president recently. He's done a lot to protect gun rights, so it's kind of paradoxical.
before we go on, I just want to say, and I hope that nobody takes this the wrong way, I am so delighted that Rich is with us. He can't make himself available enough as far as I'm concerned.
Because it drives the emails, I think.
Yeah.
Well, because it frames the arguments.
Good
I like
traffic.
That.
Good
I
traffic.
I like that. Yeah. Okay. And
well,
so Bill says, Rich is either very naive or a little cynical when he says that the results of the last electoral cycle...
Hey.
What does that mean?
Nothing.
They're off.
They're off. Sorry, Rich and I both got very excited.
Right.
We thought we were at Belmont.
I have the exact.
Go ahead. I apologize.
Thank you. Appreciated that. Rich is either very naive or a little cynical when he says that the results of the last electoral cycle proves that Americans don't agree with the president's current actions on gun control. Electoral cycles are currently controlled by large amounts of money paying for sound bites that scare people into believing that the government, a.k.a. Obama, Pelosi, etc., is trying to violate their Second Amendment rights. When big money is removed from the equation, maybe the people's true feelings will be expressed and not their basest fears. And Chad says, wow, from Anonymous, if the guy on your panel today thinks that the president has tried to work with Republicans on gun control or anything else, he needs to go get some professional help. Oh, come on. This explains why nothing has
gotten, I am a professional.
Why nothing has gotten done in the past 8 years. Okay. Paul
was this
says,
a person agreeing with Rich?
No. He's
no.
He's saying that I am so wrong that I am irrational and need to go to therapy.
Oh, I see.
You need mental health.
Oh, okay.
As Barbara Paul's, nods appreciatively.
No, I did not nod. No. That's not who I am. You know that.
No, and Barbara appreciates you the way that I do. I mean, you know, the whole point about debate, the whole point about this kind of talk is obviously that we, who may disagree with you, Rich, feel comfortable in the fact that we have you here so that
we
can...
Know, Rich is a very nice person. He's a
He's
a good friend of mine. We go to lunch. We have fun. We go to the track. It's a good time.
What do you eat?
He's a nice
okay.
man. He's not okay. the devil, but go
he
ahead.
He certainly is not. Paul says, let's get some yodeling in here to lighten the mood. I'll contribute whatever you ask if we can take down the tone a little bit. Oh. And then let's see. Can we please find another Republican to replace Rich? Will you please?
You've
you
lost
know,
a Republican job,
you know,
Rich.
I'm like
not a Republican. I am an independent, so we can be clear.
And by the way, so am I.
But I could find
like
a Republican
to
see, for you.
I reckon you're independent.
I like
to consider myself, you know, center, maybe a little bit, tiny bit to the left. Nevertheless, every time we have a Herb London or a Rich who is not nearly as immoderate as Herb London on, somebody says, get a different one on. Come on, you can do better than that. Okay, George says, after reflection, will any of you deny that your position on gun control is anything other than an accident of birth and upbringing? Are you anti-gun because you grew up in a region and strong family and friends where no one had a gun? Are you pro-gun because you grew up in a region and among family and friends where guns were common? Anyone starts with one bias and work through logic and reason to the opposite position. That's from George. And I think he makes a lot of sense, to tell you the truth. I mean, I think...
Barbara?
Well, I just have to say something about my relationship to guns as an African-American who grew up in the pre Civil Rights era. It's just not a joke. I've always lived in urban areas, so people in general in Cleveland, Ohio, during that time period, the mid-20th century, were not toting guns. Police were, of course. And one of the things we were talking about, I was talking about this just recently, since recently it was New Year's Eve, I was saying how we never went out on New Year's Eve. Our family did not, and we were encouraged not to, because one of the things, and this is like a Southern habit, at midnight, people shoot off guns. So there were some guns. I'm not saying there were no guns, but the serious part of it is that we have been subjected to extreme violence in this country, and we don't really see gun ownership, at least people from my standpoint, from my position, I don't see gun ownership as something to just kind of be cavalier about, because far too often we are victimized as opposed to, as opposed to being the... heroic actors who save everybody.
You know, Barbara, what you say is so relevant today, because the governor of, what is it, Maine, came out with a statement.
Yeah. Indeed. We have that on our docket today.
I'm sorry, Joe. But
no, that's fine. I mean, it's very much in our discussion.
Which basically is so racist, and it is so disgusting, implying that it's black people, you know, who are raping and doing this and that. It's just terrible.
No, I don't. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Barbara.
I don't know that he was talking about rape. I think he was talking about the tragedy of having a biracial child.
Well, no, but he was also saying... coming in here and impregnating
white girls.
White girls. Right. Come on.
Right, that's what he said. But the thing is, at this day and time, I don't know that he was accusing them of being rapists. He was saying that we have to deal with the
We're mixing the races.
Yes, we had to deal with the consequences down the line. I don't have the article.
I thought, Barbara, that it was implied because basically he's saying these are the heroin traffickers who are coming up here and doing this stuff and impregnating our women. We've been hearing that kind of stuff, since Emmett Till and way before.
I was going to say since Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, I was going to say it's miscegenation. You know, we're talking like antebellum times.
But that's
right?
That's what it sounds like to me.
But I will say the fellow who's letter you were commenting on, I did like his point, and I thought you would too, that his overall point that how much our upbringing, our background, informs the way we think about, what we think are kind of freestanding issues.
Right.
You're absolutely right. I remember in the sixth grade, my mother turned around to me and I said I was voting for General Eisenhower in the sixth grade election. How's that, folks? Against Stevenson.
I remember it well, Alan.
and my mother turned to me and said, "No, dear, you're not. We're Democrats, and that or we're Jewish or we're Catholic. I mean, that's when we learn things. That's what we call political socialization."
I just want to clarify the comments of Governor Paul LePage of Maine. He made these Wednesday night. We should also note that he was the first major elected official to endorse Governor Christie. This was done on the stump for Governor Christie as he campaigns for the New Hampshire primary, which obviously is coming up very soon.
What did he actually say?
In his comments, here you go. "These are guys, quote, these are guys with the name D-Money, Smoothie, Shifty, these types of guys," he said. "They come from Connecticut and New York. They come up here. They sell their heroin. They go back home," Mr. LePage told the crowd, according to the Portland Press Herald. "Incidentally," he added, "half the time they impregnate a young white girl before they leave, which is a real sad thing because then we have another issue we have to deal with down the road."
And that's why I said a sad thing. That's why I said I think it has to do with the trauma and the tragedy of being biracial.
Yeah, I have to agree with Barbara on that because he made a point, say, impregnating a young white girl. That's wow.
This guy's
an elected official, huh?
Governor of Maine.
And as of today, he asserts, because again, I saw follow-up this morning, he asserts that it had nothing to do with race.
Yeah, right.
He didn't explain why he designated...
Doesn't white have something to do with race?
Right. Yes. And I have to say, we heard, and I never read a second comment, but we heard from our correspondent, Julius, again. He said, "I like Rich. You can have dialogue with him."
That is true.
You think Christie's loving that?
There are tons of letters, Joe. You tell me what to do.
Let's see. It's 9:45, so let's go take a break. I missed the first one completely, so let's go. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll try to get to another, maybe do a lightning round of some topics, and then we'll leave some time at the end for more letters.
Okay.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from Ichiban Japanese and Chinese Restaurant, Central Avenue, Albany, serving hibachi dinners, sushi, sashimi, curry soups, Thai, and entrees, offering daily specials, 518-432-0358. And Mark Lawson Antiques, Saratoga Springs, and Colony, New York, purchasing jewelry and diamonds, coin collections, silver, antiques, fine art, and estates, marklawson.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. It's very nice to have you with us. Let me reintroduce our panel because a lot of people are saying, Who's that guy who's saying those things? That guy is Rich Honan. Rich Honan is he is an attorney. He is a corporate attorney. He is with us this morning, as he is many, many times, and we're very happy to have him. We're always happy to have Barbara Smith with us as well. She joins us each and every Friday, and whenever we can beg her to come back. Barbara is here, and Alan Chartok, of course, from an undisclosed location, joins us this morning, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We have we got all of the major stories in, with the exception of North Korea. So I just want to touch on that, and then we can go back to the letters, because we've pretty much been through our conversation. And we talked about President Obama's editorial in the New York Times. Alan referenced that. We did talk about the governor in Maine and his comments. So let's just quickly talk about what's going on in North Korea, and then we'll go back to the. The long list of letters that we have. In a striking public rebuke of China, Secretary of State John Kerry warned Beijing on Thursday that its effort to rein in North Korea had been a failure and that something had to change in its handling of the isolated country it had supported for the past six decades. Mr. Kerry said, made his comments a day after North Korea's latest nuclear test after a phone call with his Chinese counterpart. Today in my conversation with the Chinese, I made it clear that has not worked and we cannot continue business as usual. China had a particular... Go ahead, Alan.
I just want to say, Joe, I love this story, and I'll tell you why. Because, and, you know, I do my homework, I do what you tell me, and I read these pieces, and the time and the Times or Washington Post piece that you sent us on this was so interesting on this very point, which is that we make deals with other countries that they'll handle something. So we made a deal with China. Okay, China, you handle this lunatic. We're out of it. You handle it. You tell us what you're going to do, and basically we'll shut up. And that is very eye-opening. Don't you think, panel, that the idea that that we have made, Woodrow Wilson used to call no secret deals secretly arrived at, we've made deals, that's politics, to other countries, you handle this, and we'll step back. And then, of course, Kerry gets so angry here that he breaks the agreement, which is that we're going to let you do it, and we're not going to say much about it.
Yeah, I think that's something that we do a lot in foreign policy, right? I don't know that that's necessary. I mean, the deals themselves aren't disclosed, but I I'm going to say I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing if countries are, you know, trying to work together in the background to
me neither
to deal with, you know, a rogue nation, you know, however you define that. You know, the problem is, you know, China's not doing what we would like them to do. This one makes strange bedfellows because Trump agreed with Kerry on this. Trump said, they asked Trump, what would you do about North Korea? And he said, we can't do anything. We got to get China. You know, it's all China. China controls them. He said, as you would expect, he said that he would use some economic leverage on China to try and get China to comply a little bit. Not so much sanctions, but almost more like incentives. And he also said that he would probably do more with South Korea to try and get them to get more communication into North Korea. But it's just funny that, you know, to hear, you know, Trump agreeing with the Obama administration that, you know, it's up to China. But I think he believes that there's more we could be doing to pressure China.
You know, I know I'm interrupting too much here, but China is very much on the front pages. We haven't even mentioned today the fact that the stock market is dropping like a rock. Is dropping like a rock. The interdependence, no matter what, I mean, I talk to the guys who build good submarines, the congressmen, and they say, we got to have another submarine because China's getting too aggressive. Meantime, the stock market drops over there, and clearly we respond by our stock market dropping also. So this business with China and how much agreement there must be, whether or not they've gone over the traipses in terms of their threatening Japan or the islands or the rest of it, is all very confusing and needs to be settled out.
But part of, and this, you know, we've been talking for years about globalization, right? That you hear that as, you know, that global economic theory is based on globalization. But what it really comes down to is when you achieve perfect globalization, what it means is you're going to have just as many losers as winners in a financial transaction, right? And so if you have it, if something goes up, something somewhere else is going to go down. If somebody's paying too much, somebody else is getting a good deal. And I think this is one of the problems is now China is just having trouble, you know, supporting itself.
Well, Will, I don't know. Here's the reason I don't fully agree with that. And that is, Rich, that China goes down, Japan goes down, Asia goes down, the United States goes down. This interdependence is not one goes up while one goes down. It's quite the opposite. It's that it is so tied at the hip that we're all together on it.
You're talking about major powers, though, Alan. I think you're talking about have-not nations, aren't you?
Well, yeah, a little bit, and China's making that transition, but you know, to Alan's point. I think especially I think you had somebody on this morning talking about this. With the aggressive nature of a lot of the banks like the Federal Reserves and like the European banks, they're actually able to artificially counteract, at least for some period of time, you know, some one economy going down, and I think we're seeing the effects of that. I mean, they're trying.
China tried too, and look at what they got. They say they can't do the circuit breakers anymore because it just doesn't work.
Well, it's tough to run capitalism with a communist mindset. Well,
you bet, and I don't know that it is a communist mindset as much as a dictatorship mindset.
Right.
That's the Rich we know and love.
All right, we have a few minutes left. Let's get to some letters and find out what's on people's minds.
Alan, I love this one. Why do you allow Rich Honan to throw in red herrings repeatedly? How does it matter that Obama was unable to get 100% of the Democrats to support a gun bill? This has nothing to do with anything. Hey, Joe, who wrote that? Not you.
I saw you typing.
Hey, Joe, I don't allow anybody to do anything. Okay, Jeremy says, and I like this one a lot. It's titled "Alan is Right." I don't agree with his politics. There's no doubt Rich is a delightful addition to the roundtable. I always enjoy his appearances, and that's from Jeremy.
Well, that's and nice Laura to both says, of you. That's great.
And Laura says, go, Barbara, language does matter. Characterizing the president having a tantrum because of the lack of congressional cooperation over gun control shows the lack of respect of the speaker to both the issue and the president. Okay, I'm not going to read the list because it's too long. Okay, and then John says, LePage was elected for two terms because the Democrats, independents, and Maine couldn't agree on an opponent. So the sensible vote is split and the Yahoos took both elections. LePage is a story in himself. By the way, keep Rich. I love it. Rich, this year, by acclamation. Okay. Ann says, how do the rent-paying, tax-paying gun retailers feel about the gun show and online sellers? I would think they would be lining up behind the president. And Barbara says, maybe the reason the current House members have not been voted out is that there has not been any viable choices. House members hold on to their seats for lifetimes, and instead of informing voters of their stand on important issues, all they do is attack the opposing candidates. Barbara, I just want to say one thing in defense of WAMC. There is not another public radio station in the nation that I know of that has anything like the Congressional Corner, which allows each of the people who represent sections of our vast constituency to come on and talk. And I'm very proud of that because it does allow them to do that. And Susan says, Colleen says, differing viewpoints are so important in capital letters. Please keep Rich as a regular. You listeners in the middle appreciate it. And that's from Colleen. Let's see here. A long one, way too long. But I'll read the first sentence. Guns. Over the past week, Alan has stated that although what the president is proposing on gun control may not stop future attacks. Come on, stop putting words in my mouth. All future attacks is what I said. It is a step in the right direction. Unfortunately, this attitude is the reason we have an $18 billion deficit. Throwing money at the problem is not the answer unless we have reason to believe we'll get a return on that investment. All right? And Eric says nothing here. And well, no, he didn't. It was one of those things, you know?
Yeah.
And Robin says, hello, Captain Conservative Guy. The Constitution doesn't actually The Constitution doesn't actually specify some benchmark level of patience that the president has to show towards Congress before using his legitimate powers. That's just your sense of what's socially proper. And then he goes on.
But and the sense of every president, starting with Washington. But
And Washington, who went up to the Congress, you remember? And then he went up and they made him cool his heels. And he said, I'm never coming here again. So you're quite right, Rich. And like that. Okay, Bonnie says, anyone may own a gun as long as it's a black powder muzzle loader, contemporary with our Constitution and founding fathers. That's what Bonnie says. She's always good for something like that.
Yes.
Right. Like that.
Okay. Puts it in a historical context.
Yeah, Jill says, your 9:15 to 9:30 discussion was the best I've heard in a long time, and I generally take most of the RT, like most of the RT discussions. It stayed on topic. It was well-rounded, despite that I disagree with Rich, and the fact you missed the other break actually helps make the discussion flow better and help you escape in a more engaged. I'm so sorry.
We tried to escape. We couldn't.
In a more intense discussion, do we really have to have that other break? Yes,
it pays the bills.
Or you could have a fourth fun drive.
Yeah.
Okay. And Rich, your analysis, says David, of the president's failure to bring congressional change and thereby policy changes by elections fails to acknowledge that the significant problem, and I agree with him on this, David, of gerrymandering and protected congressional districts in this country. And by the way, Florida just voted out the gerrymandering, and it's going to be very interesting. It's going to change the entire complexion.
Alan, can I just
state. Yeah,
I just have
sure.
we have about 2 minutes, and I
sure.
just want to go around and see
sure.
with Barbara and Rich and with you of so one of the letters that you read a few moments ago said that, you know, what impact is this going to have? A concern that I'm assuming the letter writer was a Democrat, a concern that that this issue could somehow help the Republicans in the election, and that by the president doing this is helping the Republicans. Do you see that?
What do you mean? Speaking out about gun control?
That this issue could be
like it's somehow going to galvanize the Republican opposition or
yes,
something?
Yeah.
I think they're truly galvanized, seriously galvanized,
right.
as it is. And I don't think that they need this issue to be very ferocious in their attacks and in their opposition. I really do not.
Yeah.
So.
And the president is very clear about that, which is, I got to get 90% of Americans behind this thing, because otherwise they're going to sit on their yes, yes, yes. And the other guys with a very small, relatively small number are going to control the discussion.
Yeah, I hear that. I think I agree with Barbara. I don't know that. I think everybody's galvanized enough.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
I actually think, I know we're projecting ahead a long time, I don't know that this remains, and probably to the dismay of many Democrats, but I don't know that this remains as front burner an issue all the way through the presidential campaign.
The election cycle?
We'll
yeah.
see how many mass shootings we have.
Yeah, right.
because we know we're going to have them.
Well, we'll end there, and I thank everybody for being a part of the program. Thanks so many people for being a part of the discussion. Alan and Rich and Barbara, thank you all for being with us. It's a delight to have you all here. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon. We'll be back with more Roundtable.